Amen. Might need another encore here. Huh? Yeah. Thank you so much, Connie. Beautiful song. I need you more today than I did yesterday. How many of you can say that? I can. Amen. Every day we need the Lord Jesus Christ's presence in our life. And His Spirit is available. And He is with us in our hearts in this place this morning. Let us look at our scriptures this morning. Looking at Isaiah chapter 1. We finished up with chapter 66 last week. Verse 24 was the last verse, and I'm going to allude to that verse today because it goes with chapter 1. We only have a few more messages from Isaiah. You probably think, well, why end it and then start over again? Well, we haven't had this one yet, chapter 1. I started right in the midst of Isaiah with my series because of the emphasis I want to put on Isaiah for our day and time, the things then and things now that are occurring according to prophecy, and we're going to see why from the midst of the book of Isaiah through chapter 66 turned out the way it did because of the first part of Isaiah. So, as we look at verse 2, I'll begin with verse 2. Verse 1 tells the vision of Isaiah and that he, who he served under during the different kings in verse 1. And then in verse 2, it begins by saying, listen. We need to listen. Isaiah wanted the children of Israel to listen to what God has to say. O heavens, and hear. O heavens, and hear. O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighted down with iniquity, offsprings of evildoers, sons who act corruptly, they have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. You'll see that again. They have turned away from Him. Where will you be stricken again? As you continue in your rebellion, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of your foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises and welts and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion, which is Jerusalem, is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. In the verse 9, unless the Lord of hosts hath left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would be like Gomorrah. Now, it sounds pretty profound, doesn't it? The scripture But it's a positive note, especially when Isaiah, which was prophesied to share this from the Lord, to get their attention. We all need to have, we need to have attention. We need listening ears on. And that this message right here is a part of the series Paralyzing Ancient Israel and America. Without consideration, Israel had rebelled and deserted the Lord according to Scripture and were unconscious of their consequences. And that's bad. And when you're not conscious of the consequences of doing wrong or rebellion, it's serious. Something conditionally is wrong with the heart. So they did not realize the seriousness of their situation before God. So here, Isaiah said, you need to listen to me. You need to take heed to God's word. We all need to take heed to God's word. Because when you get into the scriptures and you read it, the scriptures will speak to you personally. And when it speaks to you personally, and it hits on something in your life, then you need to pay attention. And when it speaks to me, I pay attention. And I said, Lord, thank you for showing this to me. Thank you for revealing this to me. I need to straighten up my act, my conduct, my motivation, my commitment, and all of these things. And we're all guilty, just as the children of Israel. So Isaiah began his book and ends his book with chapter 66, verse 24, by recounting very realistically the response of Judah to God. Are in this aspect, they knew him as Yahweh, the favor and the purpose. So we will encounter God's reaction to the human refusal to respond to his favor and God's purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. He had a purpose for them to be their his witnesses to the world. And they failed in that area. So the people had forsaken the Lord. As a result, were spiritually and morally ill. They were sick spiritually. And they had rebelled and deserted the Lord. And there were consequences for such an ungrateful attitude, or why would say disrespectful attitude or actions. So Isaiah details Judah's situation in God's sight and calls him to return to a covenant relationship with God. See, he made a covenant relationship generations back with Moses and Abraham and all of those. And his covenant stood to that day. To this day, it stands. His covenant with the world. So let's look at the tragedy of God's rebellious children, people, God's people, in verses 2 and 3. Again, looking at these verses to get a good understanding of where this message is going. Verse 2 says again, listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted or rebelled, rebellion. And that rebellion in Hebrew means Paul. P-A, just two words, two letters, Paul. And they rebelled against me. They rebelled against God. Okay, verse 3. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. And that's true, isn't it? Our animals we have, domestic animals, The more we're around them, the more they know us, and they respect us for most parts, unless they got a mean streak in them. And a lot of them do. But they know their owner and their master. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. They do not understand because they weren't listening. They didn't hear. And they didn't react to God's covenant. So, when we look at what Isaiah is saying here, no nation in human history had experienced so many acts of kindness as had Israel. No other nation has experienced the kindness as Israel. So God had found the nation in bondage and delivered her out of the hands of the Egyptians, the taskmasters, and made a covenant with her and had given her a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, how better could that be? A land flowing with milk and honey. Amos chapter 2, verse 9 through 12 talks about this. Hosea chapter 8, 12. And then chapter 9, verse 10. And then chapter 11, verse 3 of Amos talks about this exact thing. So, through many these continuous acts of kindness, God made a great exalted nation in which he set his hopes of worship and a witness for this nation. But despite his benefits, without the least expression of gratitude, both Israel and Judah had rebelled against God. Verses 2 and 4. Now, verse 2 gets to the heart of the crisis. Verse 2 does. God's family had broken with him. They had rebelled. And Judah's rebellion was not simply a rebellion of a nation against God. Rebellion, again, means Paul. Also occurs in the last verse of chapter 66 that we studied last week. The final verse in Isaiah, verse 26. You read this, go back, chapter 66, verse 24, and you come back to verse 2 and 3, you'll see exactly what Isaiah is talking about right here. Now, their reaction was most unreasonable, as any of our actions are when we stand before God. Unreasonable. In fact, Isaiah said that the domesticated ox and donkey, who lacked the capability to reason, they don't always reason, right? Animals don't, demonstrated a greater sense of knowledge, acknowledgement, or I would say appreciation, put it that way, than did the children of Israel upon the sovereign kindness of God. And that's in verse 3. So therefore, to say Israel was less knowledgeable of God's provision than these domestic animals was a strong statement of her vainness. Now, it was like Israel. They did not know God, or they didn't realize that he was her provider. He's our provider. Everything that we have, he provides. He was providing everything Israel needed. You know what? You can even go back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were placed, and they had everything they needed to sustain them in life. And they forfeited it over one fruit. God said, don't eat of that fruit or you shall die. And that's why we all die. Because of sin. Because of rebellion. Disobedience. Not listening to God. We would be in less trouble today in this world if we would listen to God. He is our creator. He is the righteous and holy provider of everything that we have. And I think that's what the person that wrote Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, wrote that song to realize we need to count them one by one because we have so many. We are blessed so many. We are blessed as a nation. Here, the United States is blessed. I love the United States. I love this nation. As God loves the world in which He has put us in to make a difference in this world. Now, let's look at the results of denying God. And there's a penalty in denying God in verses 4 through 9. So Isaiah, he seems to be describing what only he can see and what had been revealed to him. See, when we read scriptures each day of our life and we need to make important decisions, we read the scriptures and it reveals to us what we need at that moment. And at this moment, the children of Israel, they needed to listen, and he was describing what he saw and what was being revealed to him. And in verse 4, he says, "Alas, sinful nation." That's what he was seeing. That's what was revealed to him. That's what he understood because he was a prophet. He was a champion of prophets, a lead prophet that God used mightily. And if the nation of Israel would have listened to Isaiah because of what God had delivered to him, spoke to him, it wouldn't have turned out devastating as it had in their time. And that's why he said, "Alas, sinful nation, people weighted down in iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly." They have, that word, abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. Who is the Holy One of Israel? Yahweh, God. They have turned away from Him. So Judah's denial of God had led the people into sin, meaning to err from the path of the right and duty, which means when an archer pulls back his bow with an arrow and pointing at the target, and he's not precisely right on it, and he lets go of that bow, the arrow goes, and sometimes it hits the mark and sometimes it doesn't. Well, they had missed the mark. They had missed what God intended for them. And in doing so, the people had rejected and abandoned God. So in choosing their sinful ways, they had rejected the only hope that they had. Now, looking at the word in verse 4, it says, "The Holy One of Israel." The Holy One of Israel. This term or this phrase is so important that it is used by Isaiah 25 times. Now, if it was only used once, that should be enough, right? But Isaiah had to use it more than once to get Israel's attention. And sometimes it has to be used more than once for us today by the scriptures to get our attention. And with 12 occurrences in chapters 1 through 39 and 13 in chapters 40 through 66, all the way through Isaiah, this term is used, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah was pointing Israel to the Holy One, Yahweh. They knew that name. They respected that name so much, they did not want to misuse the pronunciation of that Yahweh. And oftentimes they would use Idaho. So when we look at this particular scriptures here this morning, her wounds, it says in verse 5, and bruises. Yeah, verse 5. This point of symptoms of verse 6 are those of inflicted injuries. And her wounds and bruises had not been bound up nor treated. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. She continued in her desperate condition. Not one remedy had applied in decaying people. Not one remedy had been applied. So, now, to put it in another perspective, besides Israel, our nation also is in trouble. No one group seems able to deal with our problems. We are battling lawlessness, and it seems sometimes we're losing that battle. Our nation is not educating our young people as they should in history or in writing or in science or I would say math, as well as moral values. We have let our young people down in those areas. Our prisons are overcrowded. Pockets of poverty is growing even more. And I could say the list goes on and on and on. We can change. The world can change. And that's what Isaiah is saying. We need to look to the Holy One of Israel. Almighty God. So Isaiah described the problems of ancient Judah and called them wounds. Wounds. And if you've ever had a wound and it got infected and it kept festering and so forth, and you had to go see a doctor and take medication and try to get it healed up, it can be severe. And this was severe for Israel. So we must pray for our nation and its leaders that they would look to God and live by the standards rooted in His nature. I didn't read verses 16 and 17, but you read that sometime today. And it tells exactly what Israel needed to do. What you and I, our nation, our world needs to do in verses 16 and 17 and verse of chapter 1. Now, moving on to chapter 7. 7 indicates, 7, 8, actually, these two verses, I kind of merged together, that the country had been brought to these tragic conditions by God, sending enemies against her because of her rebellion and sin. And verse 7 says, your lands is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is a desolation as a overthrown by strangers. And then verse 8. And the daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in the vineyard, like a watchman hut, a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Now, the tragic reality here in these two verses of their situation is seen right here in 7 and 8. Isaiah pictured Jerusalem inhabitants and Micah chapter 1, 13 also talks about the tragedy here as well of the Jerusalem's inhabitants as being like a shelter in a vineyard or a hut in a melon field. So the shelter is the field workers and the watchman's shack, a deserted remnant of the harvest. That's what is symbolizing right here. Those were temporary structures, not permanent, but temporary structures built to shield the sun. Persons who guarded the crops against thieves and animals. These were temporary huts for that situation, such as huts were usually alone, easily attacked, and hard to defend. Those kind of things are temporary. They're not solid. So that's what Isaiah is saying. It is like that. That's a picture that Isaiah is painting right here. And then in verse 8, he says, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom and we would be like Gomorrah. And we know the story about Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened because of the sin that was going on in those cities, those two cities. Lot and his wife left, and God said, don't look back. Don't look back, because I'm going to destroy it. Well, what happened? Lot's wife looked back, and what did she turn into? A pillar of salt. Wasn't good. So, when we're given instruction, we listen. And when we're given a warning, we listen, right? Don't look back, or don't do this. Because whatever God says, He means it. But God is gracious, He is loving, He is caring. But He demands obedience in our lives. So Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities that God completely destroyed for their great wickedness. If you want to read about that, go to Genesis chapter 19, 1 through 25, and it talks about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. And they are examples of God's judgment against sin, and even Jude chapter 7 talks about this as well. So Zion was within an inch of being wiped out like Sodom. Within an inch. But God provided a remnant. Now, as we close this morning, as long as the people of Judah continued to sin, as long as they continued to sin, they cut themselves off from God's help and isolated themselves from God. We never want to do that. God is gracious, and He gives us warnings. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word. As we read it and we study it, we get into it and understand what that message means to each one of us personally or as a nation. And Isaiah is talking to all nations here. It's a part of God's plan. A cloud of witnesses. You know, as we read this, we understand that God gives us warnings and examples and things that is being fulfilled today in prophecy for us to understand and take heed. God loves. You know, as John chapter 3, verse 14 said, you know, after God still loved the world, but He didn't come into the world to destroy the world, but that man might be saved through Jesus Christ. That's His whole plan from the beginning of life. So, when you feel lonely and desperate or are separate from God, remember that God does not abandon you, or He will not abandon me. Our sins, though, cut us off from Him. Israel's sin cut them off from God's presence. The only true cure for the kindness of lovingness is to restore a meaningful relationship with God by confessing sin, obeying His instructions, and communicating with Him daily. Like the song that Connie just sang, I need you more today than I did yesterday. So today, daily, we need to communicate with God. Daily. Keep close to Him. And again, read in chapter 1 here, verses 16 through 19. You understand the cure, what they needed to do, what we needed to do. Also, Psalms 140, verse 13. And then 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sin, He is righteous and willing to forgive us all unrighteousness. Why should we do all of this? You and I have been bought with a price. Jesus' blood, His shed blood, we are bought with a price. Paid in full. There is once and for all, there is no other sacrifice that will ever be given for the sins of the world. And that was through Jesus Christ. See, Isaiah was offering Israel, offering our world today, salvation, forgiveness, through the grace and mercy that He extends to each one of us today. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? No better than that. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for Your message today. It's a message that we all need to hear. We may not like parts of it, but Lord, we know that Your message is always true. It's always positive. It's better to know and not know and go on living life apart from You or in rebellion to You. And Lord, our responsibility as Christians is to pray for one another. We are to pray for our nation. We are to pray that people's eyes will be turned to You, that we will run to You, because we all need help in all areas of our life, because we do fall short. And that Your scripture says that we all fall short of the glory of God. But Lord, You're willing to pick us up and set us on a straight path. Your path of righteousness. And Lord, anyone listening today, here or on Facebook or YouTube today, that needs You as their personal Savior, Lord, You are a gracious God, loving God. And all we've got to do is confess and repent of our sin, and we receive eternal life. Whatever the decisions are today, whatever is going on within our lives, whatever You are or how You are speaking to each one of us through Your message or through our prayers or through Your word, You are a personal God. You love us and You care for us, and You want all good for us. Our joy is in You. We might not always be happy in this world, but our joy is in You, and it can be complete. It can be abundant joy as we look to You today. Lord, I praise You and I thank You, Lord, for the expectations and the answers of prayer that each one of us pray as we draw closer to You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.